My dear students, you've been preparing a long time for this day, a day of great joy, and a day that in a normal year you'd get to make a pilgrimage to the Basilica or to the Cathedral, and you'd have the Archbishop there presiding over. Instead, you're stuck with me. And you may think that you've heard everything I have to say, but I have more. When I think back to my own experience of the Holy Spirit, it was in preparing for confirmation that I confronted the great question: why do I get up on Sunday morning? It was a good question, I thought, as a teenager. Work hard at school all week long. Why couldn't I have this morning to just relax? And so it brought me to a challenge. Is all of this that we talk about God, is it just a fairy tale? Or is it real? And there were plenty of voices around me that were saying, what you really want is to be happy. And the world offers so many ways for you to be happy. But what our faith teaches us is that happiness and holiness are two sides of the same coin. And if we reject the path of holiness, then we doom ourselves to missing unhappiness. For the world can provide moments of happiness, but it cannot give us the true joy that comes only from knowing the love of Jesus Christ and having that love dwell within your hearts. For God created us. If we believe in God at all, we know that He created us, and He created us for Himself. And if we turn away from Him, we not only deny Him, we deny who we ourselves are. And then we're doomed to a life where we are at war with our own being. But in God, we discover who we are, made in His image and likeness. And we discover our greatness. We discover that potential that God has placed within each and every one of us. Who we are meant to be as His blessing to the world. Sometimes we speak about the inhabitants of this planet and we say, there are too many. But I would tell you, there are too few. Too few who know that each and every one of us was created to be His blessing. Not simply to take up space on the planet. But you and I are not interchangeable. And that's what the second reading was all about. Each one of us created in a particular way. Each one of us with particular gifts. There is a way that God wants you to be His blessing that no one else can replace. And that's why the path to holiness is never a path that looks like a cookie cutter. Every one of us has a unique vocation, a unique way of living out the love of God in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is given to you to help you discern how, what does that path look like for you? When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we remember the great day of Pentecost and this whole season of Easter. We celebrate from the resurrection of Jesus to that gift of the Holy Spirit descending upon the apostles. and that Holy Spirit descended like tongues of flame. When we think about fire, we wear red vestments to symbolize this. What does fire do? Fire, before electricity, brought light. And so it is that the Holy Spirit wants to enlighten your mind, to guide you, to show you the truth about God, the truth about the world, the truth about yourself, the truth about how you are to act in any particular given moment to be His blessing. The Holy Spirit brings light to our minds. What else does a flame do? Fire brings warmth. And so it is that the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us brings us that assurance of God's love for us. Saint Philip Neri had an incredible experience of the Holy Spirit praying in the catacombs. And from that moment on, they said he always had to have the window open because there was this fiery burning within him. He was never cold. He might have been the only person that enjoyed living through a Minnesota winter. But I want you to know of God's love for each one of you. God does not love humanity. God loves each one of us individually. And by knowing that love, we get through some of the ups and downs of this life. Because you and I live in a broken world where sin has wrought great destruction to the harmony with which God created the world. Where you and I fail to love each other so frequently, we know that we have a love that never fails. God's love is given to us by His Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And that's also important because it's a jumping off point for our faith. Sometimes people come to me and say, "Oh, I know I need to love God more. I don't know how to do it." Stop. You need to begin in the right place. We need to recognize more how much God loves us. And then our love for Him will naturally increase. I think of the grandparents whom I see here. I don't want you to take any offense. I'm going to tell a story about my own grandparents. My grandparents lived 5 hours car ride away. And all through my youth, we spent every holiday there. And I loved my grandparents. But sometimes as a teenager, I didn't want to spend all that time out on a farm in West Texas. I wanted to be with my friends. My friends were free. I'm free. Can't we just hang out? Mom and Dad, you go. You go out there. But I just want to stay and hang out with my friends. And so every once in a while, I'd come time and the car is being packed up, and just maybe I was a little bit sulky. You know, wasn't looking forward to this. Maybe just a little, And all 5 hours out there, just kind of sullen. And then I get there, and we get out of the car, and Grandma and Grandpa come out on the front porch, and Grandma has a big hug. "Oh, it's so good to see you," and kissing and all of this. And then she says, "And I put your favorite pie in, and I timed it just right, so it just came out of the oven 5 minutes ago, so it's just perfect for you to greet you as you arrive." And then Grandpa gives a big hug, and then he slips me a 20 and says, "When you get back to town, go to a movie with your buddies." And all of a sudden, I realized it was great to be with Grandma and Grandpa. Not because they bribed me, but gratitude. How beautiful it is to be loved. And sometimes you and I don't find that much love to give to those around us. But when love is poured into our hearts, there's something that changes, and we still have freedom. But so often the love that comes to us ignites a love within us. And that's what God's Holy Spirit wants to do as He brings the warmth of His love to you. He wants to ignite within your heart that supernatural virtue of charity that allows you to love God and to love neighbor. Sometimes we think about Christian discipleship just in terms of the commandments. Do this, don't do that. But Jesus said all of that is summed up. Love God and love your neighbor. To live out that love of God and neighbor, first start by recognizing the beauty of God's love for you, a gift that comes to you. No matter where we are, no matter what sins we have committed, it is an unconditional and infinite love that you and I receive. What else does a flame do? Fire destroys. You know, we see this great Paschal candle that we lit at the Easter Vigil. It's already an inch or two shorter than it was at Easter. And as we go through these weeks, it gets shorter and shorter and shorter because a flame destroys. So we have to say, what is it that the burning fire of the Holy Spirit wants to demolish in our lives? Structures of sin that you and I have allowed to be created in our hearts by our bad choices. The Holy Spirit wants to demolish, to burn up and burn away all that is an obstacle to receiving God's love. You and I know that sometimes we get inflamed by things that aren't the Holy Spirit. Our passions. You know, when someone gets angry, we say, oh, he's hot under the collar, right? We get flushed and our voices raised and all of this, right? There's a fire within us, but it's an unholy fire. Or sometimes lust comes in the heat of passion. We will burn. Let's burn with a holy fire. Let's burn with God's love. And that's where we come to faith. Is our faith just an abstract concept? Is it a set of principles by which we've decided we're going to live? Or is it a passionate relationship with God? Something that burns within us that allows us the strength we need for this journey and for the battles along the way. As our confirmands and I were speaking briefly on Wednesday night, we're talking about what this ritual would look like. Maybe some of the grandparents remember. It used to be that in the bishop, after he anointed you, he then slapped you. Usually it was just a little tap on the cheek. But it was meant to be a symbol of robur ad pugnam, strength for the battle. Are you ready? Are you ready to go out there? You've now got this power within you. You and I look at all the challenges in the world, we get overwhelmed. And we should be overwhelmed if we're trying to do it on our own. But we shouldn't try to do it on our own. Jesus never promised to fix all the problems in our lives. He never promised a smooth and easy ride. But He did promise, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We don't face the challenges of life alone. And so as you receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know you have this powerful supernatural reservoir within you. That at any moment, you simply need to call upon the grace of God that is within you. And that's why the color red is also the color we use for martyrs. Because of our own human weakness, we could not lay down our lives for our faith. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do anything, even to give up our lives. And that's where it starts. Can I fight the battles of everyday temptation, of the selfishness that presents itself to me every day? From the moment the alarm clock rings and me trying to decide, am I going to hit snooze or not? The battles we face every single day to call upon the grace of God that we may make good choices. Choices that help us become the masterpieces that God created us to be His blessings to the world. And each one of those battles is connected. Did I mention that I'm from Texas? I think even people from outside of Texas know about the Alamo, right? And in the Great War of Texas Independence, it was the rallying cry, "Remember the Alamo!" But for those of you who did not get the blessing of a whole year of Texas history growing up, you might not have heard about the Battle of Goliad. And it was a minor skirmish. But the defenders of the Alamo, when they held off for almost 2 weeks a massive force arrayed against them, their rallying cry was, "Remember Goliad!" Each battle builds upon a previous one. If we're used to self-indulgence, always giving in, then when it comes to a great moment of decision, we won't be ready to make the right choice. It's only as we cultivate the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we allow our freedom to choose that which is good and reject that which is evil, that we build ourselves up to be those soldiers for Christ, those witnesses of the gospel, the light of Christ in our world. Jesus said, if you can't be trusted in little things, you can't be trusted in big things. It is precisely here and now in the everyday that we learn how in those little things to cooperate with the grace of God, so that when we come to those moments of great decisions, we are already attuned to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit and docile to that power of God which wants to lead us in the way of light, the way of truth, the way of goodness, the way of holiness. And we come to today's gospel. We find this parable that Jesus gives. The seed is the word of God. The word of God is always one and the same. But the results that are produced vary on how we receive that word. Are we closed to that word? Has pride shut our minds and our hearts that we think we know what's best and I don't need anyone else to tell me? I don't need God, I'm fine on my own. Have we allowed temptations to choke that seed of God from growing, that we give ourselves to the world too easily? We don't fight. We don't use the grace that God gives us, especially the grace of the sacraments. How is it that you and I receive the word of God? Because that word is powerful. St. Paul tells us, more mighty than a two-edged sword. How do you allow the power of God's word to produce a fruit in your life of 30 or 50, 100-fold? Because there it is. It's not a numbers game that you and I are outnumbered by those who don't believe in Christ. One saint can do more than a million people who are just going through the motions. What fruit will you bear? How will you receive this great gift of the Holy Spirit given to you today? That is the question that your teachers and I can't answer. For the answer lies in your power. God's power is given to you. It's now up to you as to what you do with it. God wants you to be His light. God wants you to know His love. God commissions you to go out and be His witnesses and blessings to this world.